Good morning, I should say. Thank you for being able to come out to our live stream broadcast online. I hope that the Lord would bless you today as a result of you being here. What I'm going to do today is I've been looking at a text for a bit of time, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you five questions to consider. Today, five questions to consider, and it's about salvation. And one of the things I think that we need to do is folks need to make their election and their calling sure. You need to know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. Sometimes you'll talk to folks and you'll ask them are they saved, and sometimes they I hope I am. Well, you have to have a know-so salvation, and you got to know it beyond the shadow of any doubt, and that's the greatest thing in the world you can have. I don't know when Jesus is coming, and I don't know when I'm going to die, but either way, I know I'm ready to go up, and I look forward to the day of going up. So it's important that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you five questions about salvation. And you that are listening by way of the live stream, I hope you give earnest heed to what these questions says. Of course, I like to do question messages anyhow because it makes you want to think. So let me go ahead and get into the message that we're going to be looking at. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. It says we are to make our election and calling sure. And what that means is you need to make sure that you're saved. You need to know it without a shadow of any doubt whatsoever. You need to have that. There's sometimes I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, I think I'm saved, but you can't think it. You got to know it. You got to know that it's sure. And you got to know that you've trusted it. And that gives you what we call assurance. And I think the assurance in your heart comes from the Holy Spirit. I think He's the one that gives you that assurance. Okay? Now, we're going to look at five questions about our salvation. Five questions about our salvation. All right, number one, have you trusted the right gospel? That's the first thing you need to consider about your salvation. Have you trusted the right gospel? Now, I want to tell you something. There is a true gospel, and there is also a false gospel. And there's more people that preaches false gospels than true gospels. They really are. And that's a dangerous thing. For folks, the true gospel message of Jesus Christ is given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4. This is the definition of the gospel. Give it to you a bunch of times, but I'm just giving it for those that are listening by way of our live stream. So you need to know what the gospel is. I listened to an old man one time, and he said, how can you be saved if you don't know what the gospel is? And here's the gospel message. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved. You're saved by the gospel. You're saved by the gospel. That's how you receive eternal life. It's by trusting the gospel message. by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, beloved, that's the right gospel message in this text. If you mark things in your Bible, you need to mark 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, because that's the definition of it. And if you're born again, you know this. If you're born again, you know this message. You best know it. And that's what the gospel is. Why am I going to heaven? Because Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what the gospel is. And when you trust the gospel, He gives you everlasting life. Everlasting life. And nothing any greater than that. Can you imagine living? You know, if you don't have everlasting life, then you will face everlasting death. There's two options you basically have. If you die today, would you go to everlasting life, or would you go to everlasting death? How would it be with regard to you? The Scripture's clear. As sure as there's a heaven, there is also a hell also. And one of the reasons why we preach the gospel is the gospel message is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes it. It saves you from hell. It gives you everlasting life. And it's important that you know exactly what it is. You need to tell it to your children, beloved. You need to teach these things to your children. You need to tell them about Jesus. Well, I'm going to wait and do it later. Well, you teach them other things that's not nowhere near as important as the gospel. Teach them about the Lord. Teach them about hell and teach them about heaven so that they can learn these things. One of the greatest things in the world is to know that you're saved. And beloved, I know I'm saved, and I hope you know you're saved. And if you're on the fence and you don't know for sure, I suggest you make a fresh profession of faith in the Lord. Because you need to, as the Bible says, to make your election and your calling sure. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and the verse 16. Here again he talks about the gospel. Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day. Trusting that message is what saves you. In Romans 1 and verse 16 it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he said, I'm not ashamed of it. If you're not ashamed of it, you share it. If you're not ashamed of it, you'll tell other people about it. If you're not ashamed of it, you'll tell your children about it. The greatest thing you can give to your children and your grandchildren is the knowledge of the gospel message. That's the greatest thing they can have. I don't know why many times parents, they drive their children in different types of pursuits, but they many times will forget the things that are most important, and that's eternal life. What I want for my grandbabies and what I want for my kids I want them to have eternal life. I want them to go to heaven at the end of the day. That's what I want. I don't care about money. I don't care about all these things people live for. What I want for them is I want all my whole family to be saved. That's what I want. I don't think there's anything any greater than that. And that's why we share the gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. And you got to know that you believed it. You got to know that you trust it. And that gives you the power of God unto salvation. It's the greatest thing there is. The first point that I gave you this morning is, have you trusted the gospel? Have you trusted the right gospel? You must make your election and your calling sure. Make sure that you've trusted the gospel. Sometimes I'll go in and people are on a deathbed, and I'll talk to them about the Lord, and I'll go in and I'll say, now, have you trusted the Lord as your Savior? Sometimes they'll say, well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? And they believe in God, but they've never trusted the gospel. You see the difference between them? There's a lot of people who believe that there's a God, but at the same time, they've never called on Jesus' name and asked him to save them. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. Years back, I'd been up at a hospital up in Charleston, and I met a woman up there, and she wanted me to come in and talk to her about the Lord, and I did. And I went in there, and I thought I had plenty of time with this woman, you know. And I thought to myself, well, I'll witness to her, and I'll explain all these things to her, and you know, try to help her to be able to understand and all this. And you know what happened? You know what happened? She said, Jeff, I just want to get saved. What I got to do to get saved? And I explained the gospel to her. And you know what? The Lord saved her. He saved her. Gloriously saved her. You know what I gave her? I gave her the gospel. That's what I did. I was afraid she didn't understand what the gospel was. But she listened to it. And she trusted it. And I thought, well, she said, Jeff, I went back the next day. She said, did you trust Jesus? And she said, Jeff, I did. I'm sure I did. And I said, well, when she first talked to me, she talked about baptism. She thought baptism is what saves you. So after I got done talking to her, and I went back the next day, and I said, now, darling, you realize when you trusted Christ as your Savior, when you called on His name and trusted Him as your Savior, God gave you eternal life then. She said, oh, Jeff, I know. I know now. She said, I know. But when I get out of here, I want to mind the Lord in baptism. You know what happened? The next day she died. Never dreamed it. Never dreamed it. You never know when someone's going to die. That's why you always have to be ready to share the message with them. And then the reason why I give you that little story is that literally happened to me. And I thought, man, I'm glad I said something about it. And because there was one time when I never said anything about it and was going to go back the next day, but it was the person had done died. I'm all grieved over it. Grieved over it. So I hope you've made your election and your calling sure. I hope you know you're saved. I hope you have a know-so salvation, not a think-so salvation. So the gospel message is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. I give it to you. I hope you mark it down when you get off, when you go home this evening. I hope you trust it. If you say, Lord, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior, He'll give you everlasting life. And that's what carries you. That's what carries you. Man, if a person dies without Jesus, Scripture says, having no hope and without God in the world, that's a horrible way to die. But when you have everlasting life, it's a wonderful thing. My mommy passed this week. In earlier part of this year, my daddy passed, and I'm the only child. And I don't know how people could stand it without the expectation of heaven at the end of their days. How about you? It wouldn't be a horrible thing to die without Christ, not having eternal life. When you know where your people's at, when you know they're with the Lord and you know they're better than ever, it strengthens your spirit. It helps you, and it's the greatest thing that there is. So have you trusted the gospel, the right gospel, the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4? Have you trusted that gospel message? Now, sinner friend, if you've never done it, how about today? You don't have to call a preacher in to do that. All you have to do is ask. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call. Call. Ask Him. Say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want you to save me just like you did that old thief on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He could do the same thing for you. If you die today, where would you go? Would you go to heaven? Do you have a know-so salvation or a think-so or a hope-so? I want you to have a know-so. Ask Him. Lord, I want to receive You as my Savior. I want You to give me everlasting life. And He will. And He will. Number two, did your profession of faith change you? This is the second question I give you. The first question was, have you trusted the right gospel? And I'll give you what that was. But the second question is, did your profession of faith change you? Did it change you? Do you have a taste for spiritual things? See, when the Lord saves you in a new birth, there's a change of conduct. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm just telling you that you're changed. Old things pass away, all things become new, as we always say out of the Scriptures. But did your profession of faith change you? I get excited when people come forward in the church and make professions of faith, sometimes I'll take them next door and talk to them about the gospel. But when they make a profession of faith and I explain it to them and all these things, I look for them to be new after that. And if they ain't new, there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with it. Things like that bothers me tremendously. Did your profession of faith, did it change you? Does people see the change in you? A true profession of faith in Jesus Christ will change you. That's why the Scripture says old things pass away, all things becomes what? New. New. Did your profession of faith change you? Did it change you? Did it change you for a day or a week? Or did it change you for good? Needs to change you for good. There's so many people that jump in and out. They get afraid of something. Maybe they're afraid they're going to die or something. They'll jump in. Then when they don't die, they jump back out. In and out. We aren't talking about an in and out salvation. We're talking about an eternal salvation by trusting in the shed blood of Jesus. You call on Jesus' name, He'll save you. You look at the thief on the cross, two thieves, Jesus in the middle, and a thief on either side. And God saved one of these men. He saved him right there in front of everybody in Jerusalem that day for everybody to see. And people could hear it. And that old thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Was he saved by his good deeds? Hey, was he saved by his water baptism? What could he do? He was dying on a cross. What saved this man? What saved him? Jesus. Same person that saved me. Jesus saved him. You call on Jesus' name and you ask Him to save you, He'll give you everlasting life. Did your profession of faith change you? I look for a change in people. I get nervous when I see people make a profession of faith and then you see them out and they're different than they were before. A true, genuine, born-again experience lasts forever. And there'll be a change of conduct in their life after that. Old things pass away. All things become new. I had an old football coach named Dick Darby. And I stayed in trouble. I was always in trouble. All the time when I was in school. The Holy Spirit touched my heart when I was in probably 9th, 10th grade, around that time. But I got in trouble so often. And my football coach was, like I said, Dick Darby. And he started seeing a change. He used to get all over me, because I was always mean. Always got in trouble. And he would always jump on me. I mean bad. He would be on me bad. And you know why he did that, don't you? He did it because he loved me. He wanted to straighten me up. Well, the Lord straightened me up. And he saw the difference. I remember it so well. And I remember one day we was downstairs and he said, I know another person like, and then he said, like old Jeff Arthur right there. And then he looked at me and said, here's what he said. He said, but I'm real proud of you, son. I'll never forget that. And it wasn't for scoring a touchdown. It wasn't for throwing the shot put in the disc. It wasn't for all these sports things. I believe Coach believed in Jesus. I do. And it tickled him to death because he saw the difference. You see what I'm trying to say? I'm telling you, people should see the difference. And when you're new, the profession will change you. Now, if it doesn't change you, something wrong with it. Number three, did your profession of faith last? I've seen a lot of people make professions of faith. I've pastored 40 years now. I've seen a lot of professions of faith. But you can't see the heart, right? People come forward, and that tickles me to death when they make professions of faith. That really does. I get excited over those kinds of things. And I think every preacher, I think all preachers do. I think that that a true profession will last. Y'all agree? A true profession will last. But if you'll notice, you'll see so many people, they'll make a profession, and then they'll fall back out of it. They'll make a profession, then they'll fall back out of it. It doesn't last. A salvation that doesn't last. Hear this. A salvation that doesn't last is a salvation that's not true. A salvation that don't last is a salvation that is not true. Give me a drink of water here. Did your profession last? Scripture says old things pass away, all things become new when you're born again. John chapter 10 and verse 28. Let's turn to that one. I want to read that to you. I love this text. John 10 and the verse 28. Here's what the Lord does when he saves a sinner. It says, and I give unto them. Let me go ahead and I want to get the sheep part. I love the sheep part here in this. Jesus answered, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not. Ye believe not. Why don't they believe according to verse 26? You believe not because you're not of my sheep. Can you imagine Jesus telling you that? The reason why you don't believe is because you're not of my sheep. Now, I want you to listen to this. My sheep. Let me say it one more time. My sheep. Hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me. Who gave you Jesus? The Father did. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Man, that's a great text, isn't it? If that don't fire you up, your wood's wet, but if you listen to that message like that right there, this text is a tremendous thing. A tremendous thing. It gives you how long? Eternal life. Never perish. Neither shall any pluck you out of my hand. That's a great profession, isn't it? Did your profession of faith change you? Let me go ahead and catch this up real fast, and I'm going to get ready to stop. Have you trusted the right gospel? Number two, did your profession of faith change you? That's two. Did your profession of faith continue? Did your profession of faith continue? Did it last? Of course, you'll hear a lot of people say, I used to be saved. There's no use to be saved. You're either saved or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. You ever either trusted him or you haven't. Get nervous. Well, if someone says they used to be saved, they're lost now, right? They just fail to realize they really, truly wasn't saved to start with. Did your profession last? Did your profession last? Number four. Do you have a taste for spiritual things? I mentioned this an awful lot. I think when you're born again, you have a spiritual taste. I remember hating going to church, especially when I was a little boy. And grew up, and then I got to be a teenager, and I still was the same way. Oh, I just couldn't. When I had to go to church, or maybe a certain preacher come in that preached for an hour and a half or whatever, I'd go, oh no, look who's here tonight. We'll never get out of here. And I didn't listen. Didn't care to listen. Well, I will tell you one thing. When the Lord touched my heart, I began to have a taste for spiritual things. And my old preacher could see it. I would listen. I never listened before. He always had trouble with me because I always was talking or whatever. Or mom had to take me out and beat me and bring me back upstairs. I just stayed in trouble all the time. But something changed. The Spirit of God touched my heart. And when he saved my soul, I couldn't wait to go to church. Couldn't wait. Wanted to be there. I wanted to hear the scriptures. I mean, that old Blow George preacher up here, I'd listen to him preach, and I used to be back there like this right here. Oh, hey. But he saw the difference. Had that book open, and then I started taking notes so I wouldn't forget because I was learning. It was like the Lord was filling me up. And I had a taste for spiritual things. Mom didn't have to make me to go to church anymore. I would hide. She'd find me and beat me all the way in, but she straightened me out. Taste for spiritual things. Do you see that in you? Do you see a taste for spiritual things? Number five, this is the last one. Do you realize you are saved by Christ's righteousness? And you turn to Romans 4, and I'm going to read this and we'll go stop. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, 4 through 8. One of the things that has been my main thing over the years as far as stressing to people is imputed righteousness. I think it's important that people understand what it is. When you read in the book of Revelations, everyone that's in heaven has on a white robe. And that white robe represents Christ's righteousness. That's why it's all white. That's why it's all white. The raiment is all white. And here in Romans chapter chapter 3, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified or declared righteous." Being justified or declared righteous by faith. That's what he's done for us. He's imputed to our account his righteousness. He's bestowed upon us his grace. And now, because of salvation, I got Christ's righteousness. I've made a profession of faith in the Lord. I have a taste for spiritual things now. I've trusted the gospel message, and that gospel changed me forever. Beloved, did your profession change you? Do you know him? Have you trusted him? When we leave out of here today, we leave out of here knowing we're born again, and we rejoice in it. But if you don't know, why not make your election and your calling sure? Call on him. Call on him. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him. Lord, I want to be saved. I want to have that gospel message in my heart. I want to have you in my heart. All God's people said, let us dismiss. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the great blessings that you've given us in Christ. We're thankful for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we've looked at these five questions, to make it sure, that's why we did it, Lord, to make it sure. These five questions really show what you're trusting in. Father, we pray that you'd continue to save souls at Elizabeth Baptist Church. We pray that we continue to see people touched. Maybe people that stopped coming, we pray that they come back too. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.